The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's wondrous, sometimes witty, warm, and wild Wednesday as we venture into winning the war with words. A lot of W's. And make sure that life is coming out of our mouth and not mud. Good idea. First up, we consider how everything started for the human family. It wasn't that there was nothing and then something, you silly evolutionists. Next, we may not be able to read each other's minds, but we can hear each other's words, which in some cases might be just as good. And finally, there are things to say and there are things not to say, and God gives his input as to what is an approved message and what is not.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Three very good ideas. Surviving is a good idea. Living is a good idea. And prevailing is a good idea. Sometimes prevailing is better, I just want to say. Politics, entertainment, and current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oive, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? You can reach out to us by texting 214-210-8483. 214-210-8483. Eric checking in. Using my punchline. He had a hat. So funny. You can also call in 972-445-0770. You can do either one of those. That's for praise reports, prayer requests. We use it a lot for trivia. Pop questions are fine. We will typically use pop questions and put them at the maybe next week kind of thing, depending on what kind of pop question it is. We will make this really simple to start off with because I want you guys to just really be in a good mood. I got to tell you something that happened to me before we get into our teach right after this trivia question in the introduction. Bottom line, question number one, trivia. Who in the Bible was called a man after my own heart? Who was that? Who was God referring to? A man after my own heart. Who was that? Keep in mind, any topic is open for conversation because, as we have demonstrated for a number of shows, over 300 of them, it's not professional radio. It's just radio. We're simply a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family. It's the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Okay, trivia question on the board. Who in the Bible was called a man after my own heart? Who did God say that about? You find out, let me know, send it in, or call it in. Either way, people calling already, we are just like, you know, we didn't even get through it. People are calling before we're getting going. All right, I know who that is. I know who that is. And so before I get to share my story or get to the teaching, we're going to have to talk to somebody because somebody's calling in, unless they're calling in for a pizza, in which case they should get a pizza for all of us. Oh, maybe not. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, this is Deborah from Dallas.
Hi, Deborah from Dallas. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you so much for asking me. Okay, who in the Bible did God say is a man after my own heart?
Is it King David?
That is correct. You are right.
All right.
That is correct. And I, you know, in my whole walk, I mean, I tell people, my parents named me after a king. It's not true, but I use it because it's a great line. Anyway, the idea is that I have always wanted to have that kind of heart, just to really have a heart that's really after the Lord's heart all the time. Isn't that a great, great example?
Yes, very.
Fantastic. Thank you for calling in. Excellent job. Way to get the show rolling.
Thank you. Have a good day.
All right, you too. God bless. Right. We're just off and rolling. We are just off and rolling, people. Okay, we're off and rolling. So before I get into the teach, I got to tell you what happened. Okay, I'm going to be really honest. I like to be as thoroughly honest. I mean, I can't tell you guys every single thing, but I tell you a lot more than maybe most radio people will tell. I mean, it's kind of like one of those things. So yesterday, I had watched a little bit of news, more news than I should have, more news than I normally do. See, normally, I'll watch some old sci-fi show like The Warehouse or something like that, just Warehouse 13, something really weird because Noel and I, we just love that. We're just kind of bizarre that way. And then, so we're into that. And then the bottom line is, but I watched a few other things, and then I looked at a few other things on the net, which is always dangerous to do. Usually I'll use the internet for study, but from time to time you look at some of the different stations, so on and so forth. And I'm going to tell you right now, this really happened. I got kind of like bummed because it doesn't matter what side you're on politically. It does matter what side you're on kingdom-wise. That matters. But it's just like, it's just so, you just know for the next like 3 or 4 months, it's going to be just like this and worse. And then let's just be honest, no matter who wins in November, okay, it's going to be worse the next 4 years. No matter which side is down, it's just going to be just all that worse, and it's going to be worse. And so I woke up this morning and I was praying and I told the Lord, you know, I said, this, you know, you can get really depressed. And I don't like to be that way. And I don't mind talking about politics as long as I'm lining it up with scripture and so on and so forth. I told the Lord, I said, I don't like this. So I was, I felt in my devotions, led to Ecclesiastes. And I'm reading Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And if you've read Ecclesiastes, it's the one book you read where you think, man, this guy's having a tough life. He's having a tough day. But anyhow, there's this one portion in Ecclesiastes 3 where Solomon, as he's writing, is like, he's, you can tell where he's at in life because he goes, oh, what's the difference between man and animal? It's all the same. They die, they live, they die. Pfft, you know, pfft, that's it. And what's amazing is how the Lord was helping me see in the scripture that without a vision or a principled picture of eternity in our minds, it's all just repetitive garbage. It's just like what Solomon was expressing is not different than the human condition. It is exactly the human condition minus eternity. And so I'm looking at this and I just know the Lord is like going, this is how it is if you have no hope. This is how it is if you have no eternal vision. This is how it is if you have nothing to look forward to. It's just the same old thing, the same old garbage, repetitive this, repetitive that. You live, you die, you live, you die. They build monuments, they live, you die. And that's, there's this sense of, and it's exactly the words that Solomon used, if you'll think about it within the scripture. He says, meaningless, meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Now, there are, I think, 6, it could be 4, but I thought there's 6, maybe we'll just say 4 or 5 or 6 points in there where he says everything that is good that's in life comes as a gift of God. So he makes sure to give the instruction. He's still a king. He still has wisdom. He's still like, look, it's still the right thing to be right. It's still the right thing to do right. Enjoying your satisfaction, enjoying your work of satisfaction, that's a gift from God. But when he's talking about there's no difference between me and Fido, okay, or in our case, Levi. There's no difference between it. It's you live, you die, blah, and it's all blah. Okay, now here's the thing. Blah. If your picture is void of eternal life. Now, it's ironic that the testimony to this is Psalm 73. David talks about other people getting away with so much, and it's so ridiculous, and he's so frustrated, and he even says in the beginning of Psalm 73, my feet almost slipped. I mean, he was just really upset, right? He was pretty, and it goes all the way through, and you read it all the way through, so I think it's about verse 18 or 19, where he says, until I went into the house of God, or the sanctuary of God, and understood their end. See, there's this point where it gets frustrating, it is frustrating, it's meaningless, it's fruitless, it's ridiculous, until you insert eternity. And then it's not ridiculous. It's not fruitless. It's not going to be the same old stuff. You want to know what's going to happen is people that are more committed to the politics of humanity versus the spiritual kingdom of humanity, no matter what happens in November, they're going to, one half of them are going to drop off the cliff, and then the other half of them are going to hold themselves from dropping off the cliff, knowing that in 4 years they can drop off the cliff. It's just like, wow, that there's not a lot of excitement. That doesn't sound like a great plan. I'm either jumping off the cliff or I'm just at the edge. And it's like, I don't think that's how God wants people to. Am I crazy? Does that sound wrong?
Yeah, it does not sound wrong.
And so it's like people are like, ah. And if your life is so wrapped up in this that you live or die by it, boy, eternity. You got to have dancing streets of gold, joy, happiness, peace, no more pain, rest, grace. Oh, mercy. Oh, presence of God, hanging out, fulfilling the plans, doing whatever. What are we going to do? Well, I don't know. Should be fun. I can tell you one thing. It's not going to, unfortunately to other faiths or whatever, it's not going to all revolve around sex. And I can tell you another thing. Between the ages of 15 and 40, 45, you might have one mindset. But you get to be 50, you're like, oh, yeah, better not all be about sex. That's what happens. Don't get mad at me. It's what happens. And so my point is, we're looking for eternity that's like full of joy, full of happiness, full of grace, full of love, full of companionship, full of hope, right? That's what eternity gives us, the ability to go, yeah, doesn't matter, we're going forward. And I don't even, I know people are, well, you got to fight for it. I don't have any problem with people fighting for it, but you do not put the hill that you live or die on in regards to human government. You put that hill on the kingdom of God. That's the hill that you, people say, well, is that the fight you want to fight to the death with? The kingdom of God is, yeah, that one, because that's the only one that has eternal ramifications. See, 90 years, watch this, versus a trillion gazillion years. Which one's longer? A trillion gazillion is longer. No, there's no number like that, but it's as good as any other. What if I said one plus infinity? Aha, see, I could do the same game. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is do not look at your life in the context of all these things and think your life is only surrounded by those things that you hear or you see on the news. It is not. There is a reason the gospel is called good news. You want to know why? It's good. How about some good in our lives? That sounds like a plan. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Can I blow your mind? You know, I did this with you before, but on a different text. I love this text. You will love this text because you and I are sci-fi people. You'll love this. This is one of those, oh, goodness gracious, that's so good. 1 Samuel 23:10-12. 1 Samuel 23:10-12. Okay. 1 Samuel 23:10-12 says this. Then David said, O Lord God of Israel, your servant has heard for certain that Saul is seeking to come to destroy the city on my account. Will the men of Keilah surrender me into his hand? Will Saul come down just as your servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I pray, tell your servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then David said, will the men surrender me and my men to the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will surrender you.
I love this portion because people, we think in these boxes and we force God into our theology and say he must conform here, which is just insanity by itself. Here's a situation where David hears that Saul is coming down to try and get him, and he's asking, will the people of the city surrender me? I've helped them. I've defended them. I've given them some deliverance. Is Saul going to come in and change their mind, and they're going to give me up? And the Lord says, yeah, that's going to happen. Now, if you read the rest of the passage in 1 Samuel 23, David leaves. So he is not surrendered to Saul by the men of the city. But what I want you to catch is this. God knew what the outcome was going to be if David stayed, and what the outcome was going to be if David left. In other words, God knew the alternate universe or the alternate pathway that was taking place. We've talked about this before. It's one of those cool thoughts where we don't think of it in these terms. But remember, David says to God, hey, are they going to give me up? And the Lord's like, yeah, they're going to give you up. That's what's going to happen. So you need to make a decision and go a different direction so we can have a different outcome. And it's like God knew what the outcome was if they gave him up, and God knew what the outcome was if he left. God knew what it would be if he went left or right, if we went west, east, north, or south. God knew what the outcome was going to be no matter what, because God is omniscient. He knows all things, which means he knows every alternate route.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Okay, I want to remind you, if you want to reach out to us, you know you can call 972-445-0770. Deb from Dallas, Debbie from Dallas called in, did a good job on our very opening one. Plus, we have people texting in. So just because I don't read their names off or anything, I got everybody's text. And see, that's what's kind of cool is we get to interact and just talk and kind of be a part of things. So let's get into the next trivia question, and then we'll talk about this thing that I wanted to talk about that got delayed by a whole segment. It's because I talk a lot. Leave me alone. All right, here it is. The blank of a good man are ordered by the Lord. What is that? It's in the Psalm. I think it's in the Psalms. I'm pretty sure it's Psalms 37. What the blank of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And by the way, whenever you read that in Scripture, the idea is not to be sexist. I wish people would stop doing stuff like that. It's, you know, it has to do with humanity, okay? And it's like, okay. That involves all of us. So just everybody take a deep breath. Stop hyperventilating about silly things, okay? You're supposed to hyperventilate when, like, it's a serious thing, like, you know. Okay. Let's see. Website. HeMustIncrease.org. Website. HeMustIncrease.org. HeMustIncrease.org. Email David at HeMustIncrease.org. Facebook. He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube. He Must Increase Ministry. All right, terrific T, playing it on. Good job. Somebody sent a text. I'm not going to see who it is yet. Okay, well, it was Joy. And Joy and Cordy kind of do it together, but she sent a picture of what the answer was as well as the see how creative people are? I love it. Website. So the website at HeMustIncrease.org. So there's, I did tell you, the sermon is up there. I got a new face mask. I don't know if you can – you probably can't see it from here. But it says, ask me about Jesus right on the face mask. So I'm going to put a picture of that, I think, on the website today. It's kind of cool. It's a little small. You know, I don't like that. But it's cool because I always look for the weirder, you know, kind of things. The one that I think is the most unique that I have seen thus far. I don't. Have you seen any really weird masks to this point, or are they pretty basic?
My definition, like, weird ones are, like, the really creepy smile ones. That's the only one I saw.
Oh, that's good. That's good. So here's something that I saw the other day somebody had sent me. I just find this stuff fascinating. A parent had taken a picture of their child's mouth and then superimposed it on a mask, the bottom half of their face. So they put the mask on, and it looks exactly like the person. I mean, is that just – I think that's genius.
That's creative. That's really creative.
That's really thinking out of the box. Anyway, so I just thought I'd share that. I don't know why. It's just something that came along into my brain. Whatever. We're going to skip the dictionary for today right now. We'll probably do it in the next time because I got to get into this teaching. I'm way far behind. But the blank – of a good man are ordered by the Lord. What is that word? If you can think of it or you can check it out. I'm pretty sure it's in Psalm 37, but I could be wrong. So I've been wrong before multiple times. And even on this show, I've even mispronounced my own name. So there's no disillusionment that's going on.
No, that's not going to do it.
Yeah, exactly. Good play. Very good. Okay, I want to talk about words for a second because I think people forget Genesis 1, 3, 1, 6, and 1, 9. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God said, let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water. Verse 9, God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place and let dry ground appear. And it was so. Okay, this is God speaking. I want to talk to you about the power of words, and we've talked about this numerous times, and I could teach this 100 times in a row, and it would still be applicable every time. Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. In other words, in the realm of God, in our understanding of matter, what never existed, he spoke into existence. We have an actual causing agent that brings about our birth of the universe, whereas evolutionists have there was nothing and then there was something. There was no causing agent. That doesn't make any sense. All right, so the bottom line is that there's power in words. How powerful are words? Well, God created the universe by using words. So just let that sink. I mean, you got to have that, like, kind of sit on your head, like, when you're out in Phoenix, Arizona, it's 118, and it's 1:30 in the afternoon, and somebody takes a really cold towel and puts it on your head. You got to let that sink. God spoke, and there was creation. So we know, just in the very beginning witness of Genesis 1, that there's a testimony about the power of words. God spoke and boom, all the way down to Pluto, which they disinherited as a planet, which I think is ridiculous, but that's the point. So the idea is to understand that that's part of our process. Remember, Proverbs 18:21, right? The tongue has the power of life and death. And you don't think of it in those terms, but we need to think of it in those terms. When you and I open our mouths, now sometimes it's open mouth, insert foot, because we say stupid things, but when we use our words and speak, if it is a life or death issue, 2 + 2 = 4 is not so much a life or death issue. Jesus loves you, life and death issue. Somebody who's hurting, comforting them, speaking words of comfort, life. Somebody who has always felt alone, never feels like somebody's with them or on their side, speaking the truth to them, that's life. Speaking that truth, that love, that power gives them life. Consequently, and unfortunately, there are people that speak a lot of death. Yea, hath God said, led to death. It's amazing that just the words that create doubt with God led to so much death. It's not like Satan wrapped himself around Eve's neck and choked her and said, you will do what I say. He simply said, yea, hath God said, down the rabbit hole she went, sin entered. Man made the decision, man and woman made the decision to think that they could be on some kind of equal footing with God, because Satan said, the day you eat it, you'll be like God. Like, no, you won't. So that was a lie. But just with that lie, it created great trauma and death. What I'm trying to show is that illustration between when Satan spoke and when God speaks. When God spoke, there was life. When Satan spoke, there was death. Guess what? Life and death are in the power of the tongue. You have a tongue, and you have that power. And you can speak life, and you can speak death. Does that mean that every time you say something, you'll always do it perfect? No, it does not. I wish people would stop using scripture in such ultra extremisms. The principle here is that when you speak, speak life. And when you're talking, talk life. And when you're doing this and processing this, speak in a way that will speak life to one another. Why? Because that follows God, and speaking death follows Satan. So it's pretty simple. We talked about, you know, people are calling Christians science deniers. And then we saw, well, they're just God deniers, okay, which is fair. And I think somebody should come up with a T-shirt that says, don't be a God denier, okay? That'd be good, right? Or a bumper sticker, something like that. But there's that principle where when you're speaking life and you don't want to be supporting Satan in the things that you say, if you speak some lie to somebody, you speak something that's not truth, you speak something that's harming them, that's literally driving them into depression, or you know, the word depressed means to push down with a thumb. And so it's like you don't want your words to be pushing people's spirits down with like a thumb pushing something down. You want it to be full of life and full of hope and full of grace. Just remember, everything that God spoke when he was creating, what did they say? What's the definition of it for within Scripture? It was good. It's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. Not bad. And you never see this more true. I will say, you really want to see a visible example of what I'm talking about is go to any, or now you can't do it because of the virus, but if you ever have a chance again, or if you look at classes with young kids, you watch how when teachers speak and encourage the kids, how their faces light up. That's life. But you also watch when people speak down to other people in such a way as to insult or to injure, to create some kind of injury, and how their spirits crash and their face shuts down. It's like that's life, that's death. And that's all by words. And you think, oh, you can just ignore words. It's words that have started every war. Ever. Just to keep it as simple as possible. Not someone. Every war. Ever. But our words should be full of life. Now, what I'm going to focus on, which you guys aren't going to like a lot, because I, you know, I'm one of those guys that thinks this, is I think this is really important in regards to speaking to one another. But I believe in my heart, as Scripture lays it out, that it is equally important for us to understand that the words that we speak not only impact the people that hear it, but they impact us. And there's a whole set of languages, or a whole set of communications, I should say, that we speak to ourselves. And that self-talk, no matter, oh, there's no self-talk, there's nothing but self-talk. I mean, we'll deal with that in a second, in the next segment. Even how we speak to ourselves, we've got to be aware, has to be following the pattern of God, speaking life and not death, speaking good and not evil. Not name it and claim it or anything like that. But you call yourself an Eeyore long enough, and you'll be an Eeyore. I mean, that's just reality checks. All right, so what is it? The trivia question was simply, the blank of a good man are ordered by the Lord, the steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. and what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water, and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven, and that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Is because heaven is not some statuesque place where people go there and then freeze. Wait, I'm in heaven. I'm standing. Nope, I can't sit. Wait, no, I'm in heaven. I'm sitting. No, wait, I can't stand. Where does that kind of concept of heaven come from? Well, is he standing or is he sitting? I'm going to go with he's doing both. He's standing on this one. He's sitting on this one. Over there, he could be doing a Scooby-Doo act. I don't know what he's doing. All I know is that heaven is not about frozen people that don't move. And if we don't get a better handle on what heaven is, we're going to lose our communication of our hope to a hope that's based on 72 virgins, which guarantees you after 73 times, it's not the fun it was the 72 times. It's so ridiculous. And that's the hope we're not winning on? You have got to be kidding me.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I was just looking at T. It's just the Scooby-Doo thing. Just like, they're doing a Scooby-Doo thing over there in heaven. I don't know. That just sounded, I don't know, Scooby-Doo-ish, I guess. All right, let me know if you come up with a sound on that. That's a classic. Here's our next trivia question. You can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text 214-210-8483. This is a three-part answer, but it should be pretty simple, okay? I'm not making this hard. Jesus said in John 14, I am the blank, the blank, and the blank. So this is a fill-in-the-blank. Obviously, he didn't say blank. You got to give me the three answers. I am the one of them, two of that, three. Okay. You guys can do that. I am the blank, blank, blank. Website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, so here's the thing you got to remember. You got to remember that at hemustincrease.org, that's how we do our donations. That's how we do our money. Now, you can send something to the station here if you want to do like a check kind of stuff. But we are at the, what is this, the fifth, right? Is it the fifth or the fourth? I can't remember. It's the fifth, isn't
fifth,
it?
Fifth, yes.
Okay,
yes.
So far we're behind. We're always behind. Okay, so do your best. Okay? And if you're not doing your best, do your best somewhere else. And if you're not doing your best with us or with somewhere else or certain churches, then start doing something. I do like what some of the people, I've heard some teachers talk about this. Better to give something and learn to the process of giving and then let the Holy Spirit kind of teach you and grow you in it. So I agree with that. It's like, you got to start somewhere. Okay. I got that. We're going to cover into the next segment in just a second. So Jesus said, I am the blank, the blank, and the blank. What are those three answers? I'll leave that right there. A little bit of history before we get into the rest of the teaching. Today is Work Like a Dog Day. Now, I have a problem with this, but not for the reason that people think. My dog sleeps on the bed all night, and then when we're not home, when I get home, he comes, I can hear him get off the bed. It's not like he's got a collar, for crying out loud. And he gets off the bed and he shakes and so on and so forth. Work like a dog. My dog sleeps 98% of the time. I wish I worked like a dog. That would be great.
Me too.
That'd be awesome, right? You sleep and just like, you got my food ready? I'm just going to lay here until you do. And now that I've eaten my food, see that door? Open that door for me. See this toy? I'm going to grab it and growl. So you grab it from my mouth and throw it for me.
They're so assertive.
Goodness gracious. Today is also Green Peppers Day. I got nothing on that. It's also Tu B'Av Day. For those that do not know, Tu B'Av Day is a Jewish, minor Jewish holiday, kind of like a Valentine's Day kind of thing. We never really gave Valentine gifts in Hebrew school, but we weren't real big on giving dreidels away either. So let's keep it where it needs to go. On this day in 1861, the first U.S. income tax, United States President Abraham Lincoln signed into law 3% tax on incomes over $800. And it's been downhill ever since. And what's worse, we think we're bad with money. Oh, come on. If you overdraw on a check or a purchase, what happens? Your bank calls you, right? If you don't respond to that, they send a drone to your house, right? Next thing you know, Men in Black show up. Samuel Jackson's there with John Travolta. They want to know where their money is. In our country, if we overwrite a check, we go, yeah, we'll cover it next generation. It's kind of a weird way to do it. 1914 on this day, the first electrical traffic light was installed in Cleveland, Ohio. I'm very surprised to learn that. 1957 on this day, American Bandstand, the music performance and dance television show American Bandstand, hosted by Dick Clark. I've talked to his wife before, very fascinating woman. Debuted on ABC television. It initially debuted in Philadelphia. So there's some interesting little historical tidbits for those that are trying to figure it out. Let's get back into this text. And this is a text that I'm going to tell you I decided just in this last little bit to tell you how I came across this. Let me read this to you, and then I'll tell you what happened. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 through 8. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak, for I am too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am too young. You must go everywhere I send you and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and I will rescue you, declares the Lord." People that are pro-abortion say, you can't use that passage saying about in the womb formed you, because see, Jeremiah is called to be a prophet. All of God's people are called to be prophets in this capacity of sharing the truth of God. So yeah, not so wise, not so much. But here's the bottom line, because we're not dealing with abortion right now, we're dealing with this. God gave Jeremiah a commission, and the commission was for him to do something. And God said, look, I set you apart. Even Paul said, I was set apart from my mother's womb. Okay? So it's like, I got it. Okay? God has a purpose for us. God has a plan. He's got an appointment with us. He's got something for us to do. And how did Jeremiah respond? He said, I don't know how to speak. So, yeah, I'm too young. Now, here's something that I'm trying to relate with you in, and that is when I was first felt like I was supposed to speak for the Lord, that is what I said to the Lord. That's not verbatim, but really close. And that's when he took me to this passage in Jeremiah. And I had not really studied it or known. I was real young. It's probably about 41 years ago. And I told the Lord, I don't know anything. I'm too young. I don't know how to talk. I'm not a speaker. Right here, look at what the Lord says. So he says, alas, sovereign Lord. And he's not trying to be disrespectful. He just said, I don't know how to speak. I'm too young. God says to him, do not say, I am too young. Who was Jeremiah saying, I am too young to? But to himself and to God. And the Lord was like, don't say that. In fact, in one of the translations, modern English translations, it actually says, get ready for the play. Get ready. It says, Shut up.
Shut up.
So the idea there is for you to So the idea for you to understand that there's some things that we shouldn't be saying about ourselves and to ourselves and through ourselves. Because Jeremiah was saying, I'm too young. I can't do this. And God's like saying, don't say that. That is not the way to go about. any of this. And then the Lord gives the affirmation, I'm going to be with you. You don't have to be afraid. But the Lord challenged Jeremiah for saying something negative about himself. And there is a big truth to this, not trying to promote, name it and claim it, not trying to promote anything like that. I'm simply saying that the self-speak that you and I have about ourselves to ourselves can be superbly negative. And in that superbly negative element, we can drown ourselves. And you got to be careful, because that's the kind of thing you have to be aware of. 2 Corinthians 4:13, it is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe, and therefore we speak. When you speak, you're revealing what's in your heart. And if you tell the Lord, I can't, I'm this, I'm that, I'm whatever. Remember, Moses did this. God got a little angry at Moses. You probably don't see some of that coming, but he did say, I'm the one who formed the mouth. Then you can insert the word dummy in there, because that would have worked. But the bottom line is that we speak to ourselves or say to ourselves things, and if you say something to yourself that's contrary to what God is saying about you, then God's response is, don't say that. Be quiet. Stop it. And you think, well, how powerful is that? That's as powerful, if not more powerful, than anything anybody ever speaks to you. Because when you speak to yourself, you not only hear it in your ears, your mental ears, but you've placed it in your heart and your mind, and you've lodged it in yourself. And if it's contrary to God, it's wrong. And if you don't think you can think that about yourself, just go through the scriptures, all of them. Go through Genesis to Revelation, Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, 21. And then just look at it. Gideon, I can't do this. Yes, you can. I can't do this. Yes, you can. I can't do this. Yes, you can. This is what the Lord tries to teach us. And I want you to be aware of it with me. I do. You think I don't do this to myself? I don't do this in doing a radio show, but I have 1,500 other areas I do this in. And those words cut me, my own words, to myself deeper. Because I like myself, so to speak. I trust myself. And so if I say something stupid about myself, I'm more likely to listen. And it's like, you got to watch that. And you think, oh, that can't be that big a deal. God rebukes self-speech five times. That's not including the Gospels, which is another five times. But that's neither here nor there. When you talk to yourself, make sure that what you're saying to yourself just lines up with God's truth. Because even you can speak a lie to yourself and cut yourself down. You get what I'm saying? All right. Isn't that? That's really important. That's really kind of a good, okay, got to get on God's page. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me, Jesus said. That tells you how many ways there is to get there. One. That's how many. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
Is the David Spoon Experience.
Jesus' longest sermon that's recorded is Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, which takes about 25 to 30 minutes long. It takes about 30 minutes to read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. So here's a lesson for pastors and preachers everywhere. Jesus said everything he wanted to say on the Sermon on the Mount in 30 minutes. Paul took 12 hours. God didn't record a single word.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
On Christ the solid rock I stand.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, because I've been in Texas. That'll be 3 years for me in November. It's getting up there, right? No longer a rookie. You're only a rookie for the first 2 years. Not only am I glad to be in Texas, it's going to be really hard for me to visit California because I don't really feel like going to a communist state. Anyhow, the thing that we want to make sure everybody knows is the next trivia question. It was a joke. See, I got relatives there and friends and so on and so forth. Here is the next trivia question. Get ready. You can either call in 972-445-0770. By the way, everybody's doing a great job on the trivia. The text 214-210-8483. Here is the trivia question. Where is, in the New Testament, okay, that's big. That's big right there. 39 books in the Old, 27 in the New. So it's one of the 27 books in the New. Where in the New Testament is it written? You just have to come up with the book itself. When I was a child, I speak as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. Where is that in the New Testament? Plenty of room there for you to figure that out. Don't forget our website, HeMustIncrease.org. Website, HeMustIncrease.org. HeMustIncrease.org. Email David at HeMustIncrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. There you go. Great job, by the way. I just like that. See, she's got that. She's got the show. You got your own little library that you're accumulating. So, like, in the next 6 months, we'll have, like, 1,000 of those.
Right. It's gonna be so much.
It's fun, isn't it? Yeah, get ready, because now we're going to do a little bit of Yiddish dictionary.
Hava, nagila, hava, nagila, hava, nagila, ve'nisrecha.
Okay, so here's the next word, the Yiddish word for you, ladies and gentlemen. It's called, ready, plots. Okay, now you're thinking P-L-O-T-S, like plots of land or something wrong. P-L-O-T-Z, plots. Plots, someone or something can plots in both a literal or figurative sense. Literally, the verb means to crack, to collapse, or to explode. And you can use it referring to somebody or something that actually, something that has a crack in it, okay, or has a burst in it, like an overfilled balloon. Figuratively, you might hear somebody say that they're about to plop or collapse from exhaustion or laughter, or in our case, from boredom from listening to the show. So either way, any of those will work. See, that's plots. Okay, it's like I'm just gonna extend. You could use it in a positive or a negative. You know, that guy says one more word, I'm just gonna plot all over the place. Okay, and then I'm not going into the deeper, darker things. You can figure that out for yourself. We'll just leave it there. Plots. There you go. Is that good? Does that make sense? Okay.
Yeah. And plots.
Plots.
It does.
Plots. Okay. We hope the show doesn't plots. Though it seems
never
too...
plots.
Never plots. Okay. Gonna move on now. So what we've been talking about is words, and I think it's important. And you know, if you've listened to the show for any length of time, I do this on like every 3 month cycle. And you think, well, do you do that for yourself? Well, yes. I do it for myself, but I do it for everybody else too. It's the same reason why there's four Gospels. Why? Because we need that. You're lucky there's not eight because of how smart we ain't. And that's a big part of this process is for us to be remembering and to keep these things fresh in our minds. Here's some things to hold dear to our hearts and minds. Our words towards others and our words towards ourselves, which we just talked about, creates an impact. Remember how we said that God spoke and the universe was created? Remember how we illustrated that Satan spoke and it created disarray and darkness and disaster? Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Before you get real weird on me, the word unwholesome does not mean everything you say is pure. It doesn't mean you can't tell jokes. It doesn't mean any of that. What it means is that what you say has to be life-giving. It has to just build up. And you don't want to be tearing people down. Now, if the Lord puts it on your heart and you're required to rebuke somebody, that's going to be an exception. That's not going to be your general rule. That's going to be exceptions to how the process goes. But in general, you want the things that come out of your mouth to be life-giving, life-sustaining, hope-filled ideas and hope-filled concepts. So you got to make these kind of differentials between the absolutisms. And so there are times where you will express anger and frustration and rebuke. That's part of the process. But as the general principle goes, make sure that you speak to yourself and to others in this sense of trying to give life. Try to be a vehicle that breathes life into things, that speaks up and lifts up. One of the things that you'll notice about our show mostly is that you see me, I get a little sarcastic from time to time on media. And every once in a while, we'll take a jab at some of the extreme ministries. But in general, we don't talk about ministries. And the reason that we don't is because they're doing what they're doing before the Lord the best they can, just like I am, and just like you should be. And there should be a general consensus. These people are not our enemies. The people that are the enemies are the people that are not that haven't heard the gospel, but people that have heard and reject and want to cause pain. They want to just ignore God and go to hell. That's up to them, okay? But to be agitator, as Paul mentioned in the book of Acts and in other places, against the gospel, that's entirely different. And so that's why you'll hear these kind of things. These are principles and rules, but they're not these perfection kind of like, if you ever say anything wrong, well, I could say salami, and for some person that might be, oh, that's so offensive. Of course, none of those people would be Jewish, Polish, Italian, German. I'm just going down the list. I mean, you see what I'm saying? In general, when you speak, make it life-giving. Make it full of life. Make it full of hope. And try to build each other up and let it be a benefit to those who hear it. That's the general principle that we should be operating in, that we should be thinking. And if you want to test it, you think I'm kidding. I know you think I'm kidding. I'm not. Purposely say something very encouraging to the next person you encounter, and you will see the power of words because they appreciate it. I mean, there's an appreciation that takes place. When you communicate with me that say, hey, I really, you know, the show's great, it helps, really helpful, that's really appreciated. When you communicate that with your family, with your friends, with the people around you, the people you work with, I happen to think that T and Jennifer are great people, and they do a lot of really cool things that people don't even know. I think that's important, right? But it should be called out because it is cool. And they probably get you probably get very few props, I would imagine, because there's not a lot of people doing live shows on the station. Yours truly. And so the idea there is to speak that way. And if you think it's encouraging to listen to this show, hey, here's a great thought. Listen to this. Do that for somebody else. Just do that exact same thing. Because if it's a blessing for you, imagine you could be a blessing for somebody else the same way. And that's all good. It's all good stuff. And so you'll hear me say, and it's not that you can never criticize. It's not that you never say it. It's not that you never get angry. Those are just extremist positions. We got to pull that stuff back. We really got to find the balance. The scripture's pretty clear about going too far to the left or the right, or too far to the right and the left. And by the way, it says it both ways. It says, don't turn to the right or the left. And then it also says, turn not to the left or the right. See, there's a reason for that. So you have a little bit of balance there in between it all is the way to go. And from a political point of view, you should be top center first, always. Because whatever you're doing, it should be first unto the Lord. I don't think there's a lot of argument in that. Okay? All right. So I just want your words to be filled with life. Think of God creating the universe using his words. And think of Satan using a lie, but think of what that lie created. Think of what that doubt created in the stratosphere of humanity. It created disaster after disaster after disaster, all right? Now, God just took from that, and as he always does, and made something great out of it. So this is what I call the war on words, and a lot of this is between your left and right ear. And if you want to take a temperature check to see where you're at, after you say a few things, listen to your own words, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and your words will reveal some of the stuff that's in your heart. See? So there's all these indicators that God gives us. So they go, oh, yeah, we should probably do a better job of that. It's like, yes, we should. Okay? All right. All right, for the trivia. Okay, don't forget tomorrow we got Philippians. We're doing that on our expository. For the trivia, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I stood like a child. I thought like a child. When I became an adult, I put away childish things. That's in 1 Corinthians 13, specifically verse 11. Specifically verse 11. And that is the nicest way God will ever tell you, grow up. Grow up. That's what he says.
You need to grow up.
Exactly. What a play. Perfect. All right. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a 23-hour break, then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.